I'm now joined by a couple of stars, the CEO of the GRV organisation, Alan Clayton, and of course the chair, Peter Duncan. Join me live here at the Sink Bar at Federation Square for the most important box draw, the Australian Cup box draw, a little later on today around a 12:15, which will be broadcast live here on RSN Central. But first of all, Peter, good morning to you. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, Gareth, how are you?
And hello to you, Helen.
Hi, Gareth, how are you?
Good, thank you. First of all, Peter, what a great night it was. It's been a great carnival so far at the Meadows, highlighted by those three Group 1s on the opening night. And then we saw some wonderful action there on Saturday night.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And here we are at Zinc to do the box draw today. So wishing all the trainers and connections all the very best, and hopefully they get the box they want. As we know, it's a bit of a raffle.
Yes.
But it's just the most exciting time in greyhound racing with the Australian Cup on Saturday night. And it's really exciting.
Alan, the first couple of nights that I've been there to the Meadows for the carnival, I was overwhelmed, especially the opening night, with so much love there from the younger kids. Obviously, there's plenty happening too on track, but that must put a smile on your face.
Oh, yeah, no, greyhound racing is a very, very popular sport, and it's a family sport, and we really like the fact that when you go to the track, you're seeing mums and dads and the kids, and sometimes we've always got gap dogs there, and the kids can pat the dogs, and sometimes we have some puppies there, and it's always exciting. The food's good, it's a cheap meal often, and it's good value, good entertainment for families, and the Australian Cup is just such an ultimate event for us.
I saw there on Saturday night a couple of the gap dogs, and they do a wonderful job. They walk around and they meet and greet the people there on track. Anyway, it was a little later on in the night. It was about 9:30, 10 o'clock, just after the quaddie legs probably. And there's a few people would have had a few sherbets too by that time of the evening. And these two beautiful gap dogs have walked around and greeted everybody like royalty, shaking everybody's hand, letting people pat them, posing for photos. And they had a gutful at the end. Not a gut, but these are the characters of these dogs, is that they just laid on the floor in the middle of a big party and fell asleep.
Yeah. Look, our volunteers do a really wonderful job, and you get our volunteers attending the tracks and bringing their own dogs. And you know, the dream of a dog is to be the only dog at a barbecue.
Yep.
And you often get a little bit of table feeding for these dogs, and they walk out a little bit heavier than when they came in. So it's a great night for the dogs and everyone else.
I think anybody listening here to RSN Central this morning, and you haven't been to a greyhound meeting, or you haven't been for a while, I think you should go Saturday night, because you get to see a different perspective of the sport, really, and how wonderful these athletes are, first of all, how much they're loved, and the fun that they have when they compete. That's what I found when I rocked up there on Saturday night. I was blown away with the love of the greyhound by their handlers and also the trainers, but those greyhounds, how much they're jumping out of their skin to participate.
Oh, absolutely. They're probably one of the purest working dogs going around, that they're born to chase and they love it. And then post their racing career, then they do find the couch or come to the track and get patted and fed and then just lay down in the middle of the crowd. We've probably all wanted to do that at some stage on a night out, but anyway, they get to do that without any question. But no, I think people should come along and dispel the myths of what you think greyhound racing is, because it is something to see and it's exciting. And you're right, you'll see the trainers and the handlers, and they have the utmost love and care for these dogs, and that is without any doubt at all.
Going back through the history of this great race, Alan, and Rookie Rebel was the first ever winner at Olympic Park, and I think some of our listeners will remember it was the home of greyhound racing for so many years, and they used to pack out the joint to watch these dogs compete at such a high level. But he won around 800 pounds, I think, Mr. Hooper, who was the owner of Rookie Rebel. Now they'll race for $300,000 on Saturday.
Yeah, no, it's a really good amount of money, and you know, the elite races in Victoria, particularly Melbourne Cup and the Australian Cup, provide a great amount of prize money for participants. And just remember, though, the people that are racing in the Australian Cup, Melbourne Cup particularly, are not racing for the money. They want to look at you know, and win a Melbourne Cup or an Australian Cup. And that is so important to them. In golf, it's like winning the Masters.
Yeah.
And for us, we've got the Melbourne Cup and the Australian Cup, and people just look at that with great pleasure.
And it is the race for the champions, of course, on Saturday night. One of my favourite people in the greyhound industry since I've arrived here in Melbourne has definitely been Anthony Azzopardi because of his passion and his love for the sport. But he's in a zone at the moment, Anthony, and this is our topic of conversation, which we'll have a chat about just after 11 o'clock. Sports people or athletes that are in the zone, and when you watch Steve Smith in the cricket, he never really looked like getting out in the Ashes. And Dustin Martin, when he was playing in the final series this year, you knew that he would do something special. Tiger, when he was at his very best, he would really never lose. And at the moment, Anthony Azzopardi, he's got this aura about him. He's got this swagger with his greyhounds. And you can see it as well with Whiskey Ride. Like, I arrived there on Saturday night, and you just have to listen to Anthony and think, well, this greyhound won't get beat. And then he's gone 29-4, nearly defeated the track record. And he'll start a short price favourite, regardless, I think, of the box draw today.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Anthony is a great ambassador for the sport as a trainer. And obviously, Whiskey Wright won the Melbourne Cup last year. And, you know, like you said, it'll be the fourth ever greyhound to go back-to-back Melbourne Cup, Australian Cup, if he can do it. And I guess what I'm looking forward to is whether or not he can pull this off on Saturday night. We'll all be drinking whiskey out of that beautiful cup sitting inside there, like he did with the Melbourne Cup at Sandown. So Anthony's business, it's a family business. He's got his daughter Kayla, who we've watched grow up in this industry. I think she just turned 14. Mm. So happy birthday to Kayla. But, yeah, he's absolutely a star, and he loves his dogs. And the owners of Whiskey Ride are just the most beautiful people you could ever meet, and they're so excited. So it's just all about that. And as Alan said, it's not about the money, it's about getting the prestige of winning those cups. And I think it's fair to say any trainer in Australia would want to win an Australian Cup or a Melbourne Cup, without a doubt. Mm.
Brett Nye is a wonderful story. Of course, Last Hurrah came from behind to win his heat on Saturday night. I'm looking forward to catching up with him. He's a story, I think, that a lot of people would love to listen to, because he's a young kid trying to live his dream. I think he's 27 or 28 years of age. He's only been training for 7 or 8 months, and all of a sudden he has a runner in the Australian Cup.
Yeah, amazing, like, is you that, can't, you know? And if he won, it would just be sort of the fairy tale story. So I wish him all the best, and all of our trainers and their connections the very best in both the races on Saturday night. But, yeah, that would just be unbelievable, and I think there'll be quite a few tears from the crowd, but also him and his family if he could win.
It's been a tough time for this country in the last 2 months with the bushfires, and especially in Victoria. We're up at Buchan there recently when they held their race meeting. But greyhound racing has been wonderful in helping out the people who have suffered during these tough times. And Gippsland plays a major part, Alan, in the greyhound community. There's several tracks in that part of the world that race. And Go the Red Dog has been a success over the last couple of months. There's been plenty of winners, which has helped raise a lot of money for the bushfire appeal.
Yeah, look, I think people understand that 11 of our 13 tracks are in regional rural Victoria, and four of them are in Gippsland, if you count Cranbourne. Our trainers, participants, live in these areas and experience what people have experienced with these disastrous fires. And so, you know, there's a big commitment within greyhound racing, because we are basically salt of the earth as a sport, mixing with, you know, people at a grassroots level. And so there's been a lot of commitment to the bushfires, and we thought the Red Dog, $250 for every Red Dog that wins, has been a really, really good commitment. And I think we're up at around about 45,000 or plus, if not a little bit more, in the context of it. 85. I was looking at the monthly total rather than
double. You did 45 in January.
Yeah, that's right, January and February. So nearly 85,000, which is a pretty good contribution if you look at all the other organisations that are doing their part in it too. We're placed pretty strongly in that with our contribution, and we feel good about it because we want to give back to people in Gippsland.
No, it's been a big success, and those people of Gippsland played a major part as well. They opened up their facilities to help people there that needed them the most, and those tough times,
yep,
Peter.
Yep, always. I think that's the nature of this industry, is that they actually care about the communities they live in, and the clubs have been fantastic in opening their kennels when it was needed for people that had to evacuate, whether it was greyhounds or not greyhounds. And also our clubs have been really great in supporting Go the Red Dog and matching donations. The Meadows put in $10,000 as just off the bat, and we just can't thank them enough. And let's not forget, a lot of our trainers also stumped up some prize money.
Yeah.
Matty Lanigan, I think, was the first to go, and you know, he's a young trainer, and it's not an easy life to make a quid. So he just led the way, and that's great leadership in our industry, I think.
No, he's a terrific young man and a wonderful ambassador for the sport, and we love Matty, because he's one of our trainers for our draft dog.
Yep.
The next Australian Cup champion in a couple of years' time.
I hope so.
And they won't have enough.
Good luck.
Asbaker won't have enough beer for us at the Meadows if one of our dogs salute there in an Australian Cup in a couple of years' time. While we have you here, Alan, can you give our listeners, especially the greyhound industry, an update on how the sport is travelling at the moment?
Oh, well, we think it's absolutely going extremely well. I mean, we think from any way you look at it, greyhound racing is just improving every year and really, really hitting where we wanted to be. And so if you look at it from a welfare perspective, we're just rehoming dog after dog after dog. There's always this view that gets put by some people about, oh, you know, it's saturated. It's not saturated. We have got such a great demand for our dogs. We actually placed 148 dogs in January in one go, which would be by far a world record in terms of adoption. And it's a really strong market for wanting greyhounds, and the reason is that they just sell themselves because they're such great pets. But from the integrity side of the business is good, and our commercial side of the business is good, and we've got a new app, we've got the Watchdog app, and we're really trying to encourage people with greater information and greater access, and also with, if you're actually on the app, you'll see that we're loading new and different things into it each month or so, and it really is a popular pastime.
I think the Watchdog app will be, it's the way of the future. So it's a one-stop shop basically for everything that you need. If you want to do the form, if you want to listen to a story, if you want to read what's happening in the world of greyhound racing, but more importantly, if you want to watch a race live and then have a punt, that app allows you to do all of that. So
absolutely.
Well done to GRV.
And I just want to say, Gareth, one other thing, and Peter has been really instrumental in this. We've also got a bit of traction too with overseas interest in our vision.
Let's not give away the game, Alan. That's going to be another surprise announcement soon.
Exclusive here on RSN Central, of course.
It might be, Gareth.
Hey,
not yet.
I've got a great idea.
I just want to give a wrap.
I've just had to put the brake on the CEO because we want to come out with a bang when we announce another historic deal that we're doing.
I know what we should do, Peter.
Yes.
I think we should organise and do RSN Central from wherever you've done the deal. I'm hoping it's somewhere
Vegas,
like
baby.
It.
That's Vegas. Where we're going.
Well, that's where we'll do the show, yeah. We'll do it live and exclusively from Las Vegas. They would love the greyhounds there in Vegas.
They might do, so we'll just park that for the moment.
It's 10:52 here. This is RSN Central. We're live from the Sink Bar today at Federation Square for the box draw of the Australian Cup. It's a pleasure to be with you, and I'm joined by the CEO of GRV, Alan Clayton, and also the chair of GRV, in Peter Duncan. I need to ask you this question. We probably need to organise half an hour to have a chat about it, but you talked about the wonderful job the GAP program's doing with the welfare side of the sport, Peter. Does it frustrate you from time to time to read reports that are factually wrong about the sport that you love so much and are the chair of course, this sport in this state?
Absolutely, and I just want to put a message out to our participants, really. Yeah, I'm irritated because there's misinformation out there from certain groups. It's not acceptable because they're using, you know, statistics that are 5 years old. We've worked really hard, so have our participants as a collective. We've spent millions of dollars to reform our industry. We've done that. So I think what you'll find is that ourselves with our trainers are going to start to rebut some of these claims because they're not right. And it's insulting to our people, and I'm not going to have that, because it's about culture, which we've talked about before, and looking after our people. And I've said it before and I'll say it again, myself and the board will defend and protect this industry for as long as we have to make sure that the facts are out there, Gary.
It fires you up a little bit.
I'm angry.
You're angry, and it's an emotional, it gets your blood boiling.
Absolutely. Yeah. Because I think you've got to be fair in your reporting, and there's some media outlets that aren't fair, and we're not going to cop that anymore. So I think, you know, across the nation, the reforms have been done. These people, this is their livelihood, and we employ nearly 4,500 people, full-time equivalent, across Victoria alone. We put in $500 million to the Victorian economy, and to make these false accusations and claims about our industry, we've had enough. And it's time, because we have the integrity and welfare, which is probably the best in the world, I reckon it is the best in the world. We're not going to put up with it anymore, because we have to protect and defend our participants so that they can continue to have the livelihood that they want to have. And it's generational. Anthony has a party, good example. Kayla, his daughter, will probably be a dog trainer. She's 14, and we've known Kayla since she was 9 years old. And she's a fantastic girl, and it goes for all of our families that are involved, but that's just one off the top of my head because we are talking about the Australian Cup.
I think you make a really good point there, Peter, about it's not fair on the industry participants. So I've talked to several of them, and they get emotional.
They do.
And they get really emotional when their integrity gets questioned.
Yep.
Or they get targeted with the brush that they are cruel to animals when they are the complete opposite, where they would put their dogs before they put themselves, Alan.
Yeah, look, I think people that make some of these comments don't actually understand the dog.
No.
So the fact is that the dog loves to run. These dogs are bred to run. To deprive them of the opportunity to race and to run is just not fair. And we give them an environment where we try to make it as safe as possible. So just taking a little bit on from what Peter said, we've invested a lot of money and a lot of time and effort into trying to make our safe our racing environment safe. We shut Horsham and redeveloped Horsham to make it the safest track for a while in Victoria. Mm-hmm. We've shut Traralgon. We've completely redeveloped Warrnambool. We've had a program right across the state of investing in new ideas with in collaboration with the University of Technology in Sydney, Professor Eager. Mm-hmm. And we've really led the way in the world in understanding the science and the evidence underlying our racing program. And the thing is that we had a 23% improvement the year before last in safe racing, and we've had about a 21%, we're on track for about 21% improvement this year. And it's going to take us about 5 or 6 years to really put these things into effect, because it's a large change on 13 tracks. But I can tell you it's working. And people should get behind it, because really we are doing a great job. And the RSPCA backs us on the safe racing program as well.
I think it comes to the day. Well, I think that the animal activists are trying to hold everybody to account, but I think sometimes they need to be held to account by getting their facts right.
Well, the day has dawned.
Yeah.
Okay. And I think Alan's right. So, you know, there's misinformation about the improvements we've made. We are the source of truth, and so we will be putting that source of truth into the market to protect our participants, and I hope that they are on board with us. I can't see why they wouldn't be. Mm-hmm. But Alan's right, we've made massive improvements, and it's also, I'm just going to go on a rant here, it's also insulting to the board and the staff at GRV to say that of course we would say that because we're the regulator and we're lying. That is just insulting and unacceptable. We are held to account by the Victorian government, so we're never going to not tell the truth. We're very transparent, always have been, always will be. So if we say this is the reality, that it's 21% better this year, that is a fact, not a myth that you want to come up with. So I'm very passionate about this because I love this industry. I've been involved since I was 8 years old, and I'm now the chair of the board, and I will not stop until this industry is sustainable. Everyone can train their dogs and have a happy life. When I leave this industry, I'll have racing dogs. an Australian Cup winner, Gareth, by the way. Yep. I'll beat you to it, probably.
Well, you can join our syndicate you like, Peter.
And I guess the other point on that is now that we have done all the hard yards in terms of the integrity and welfare, they're our core pillars, and that will never go away. That will remain as it is. But we now have a strategic priority, which is to drive revenue. And so, obviously, the deal we've done last week with Channel 7 for a free-to-air broadcast and Thrill of the Chase coming back on air is a historic moment for this industry, and it makes me proud. I know our trainers are really, really proud because we get to showcase the dog and the trainers and show people the reality.
Yeah.
And I think if you can't get to the track on Saturday, have a look at Channel 7, 9 o'clock Saturday night, Australian Cup pre and post race, and you'll get to hear from all of our trainers. And that's the way forward now, because I've said it before and I'll say it again. As the chair and with my board and with the executive team at GRV, we will not let up until we can return substantial returns to our participants through prize money so that they continue to be able to have the life that they want to have.
Yep. Well said. And Saturday night, I think it's terrific to have Channel 7 as part of the coverage, because it does allow people who don't have Sky Racing to sit back and hopefully watch a wonderful night of racing and get to understand the stars of the sport. And the stars of the sport are the dogs and the trainers and the handlers that do a lot of work behind the scenes to make this wonderful sport happen each and every day. I think the sport's in good hands with so many, you two passionate leaders, and you can hear it in your voice and what the sport actually means to you. So I wish you the best of luck on Saturday night. Are you allowed to tip?
No.
Well, I can't bet, but I'm allowed to tip. Yes. Alan's not allowed to.
No.
Right, so let's go. I think for the Aussie Cup, I'm going to go with the last hurrah, because I'd like, it's a sentimental tip, by the way.
Yes.
So if anyone's listening, you'll probably do your dough. It would be fantastic, though, if Anthony Azzopardi wins, but I wish all the trainers and connections all the very best.
Yep.
And as we know, on these big race nights, anything can happen in a race, so good luck to them and safe journey. With the Fanta Bale Superstayers.
No now, Tornado, too.
I know,
it's Tornado, so
I know. You and I love Tornado. So I'm going to go for the sibling. Here's Tears.
Oh, okay. He's not one of mine, Here's Tears. Like,
really?
Oh, no, because he tried to take over from Batman as the like, he hadn't done his apprenticeship yet. Everyone was talking him up. And Tornado Tears is my favourite. But we did have Shimmer Shine as RSN Central's dog, but we changed our mind, and it's now Whiskey Ride. But we did that a couple of weeks ago. So he's our, I think a lot of our punters and fans of Greyhound Racing who have jumped aboard too since listening to RSN Central. I caught up with a few at the race the other day. They're all on Whiskey Ride at the $9.
Ooh, are they?
Which was on offer on Saturday morning, which was disrespectful for the champ. And now he'll start $1.60 after he draws, hopefully, box number one tonight.
Well, that's
going to
be interesting, isn't it? Once the box draw comes out and the odds go up, it'll be a race to get your bet on, I think. So watch this space on Facebook, for the GRV Facebook, because we'll obviously pop it up there as soon as the box draw is done. But yeah, we'll see how the market turns out after that.
You'll have to visit me in the tent there on Saturday night.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we'll have a lot of fun there. My producer, the Hornet, Matty Nevitt's bringing a load of friends from Ballarat as well, so look out. Thank you, Peter.
Thank you,
Gareth. Alan, for joining us here.
Thanks, Gareth.
And enjoy the lunch and enjoy the box draw, and let's hope that your greyhound draws well, I guess, in the big one.
Thank you. And can I just say, Gareth, thank you very much for your support on RSN. Like, we love coming on this show, and you truly are passionate like we are. So it's always a pleasure to come and have a chat to you.
No, it's an honour to talk about this wonderful sport of greyhound racing. And there's so many terrific people, and we'll hear from them a little later on as well. Looking forward to catching up with the stars of the show around 12 o'clock today. But it's time for a quick break here on RSN Central. On the other side of it, Matty Nevitt with his sports update will find you a winner as well with the Form Express. And then Mitchell Beer, the man that's got the best Twitter handle in racing, of course, he trained the country championship winner there, or the qualifier from the Albury region there on Saturday, and we'll have a chat to Mitch about that. And then David Moran, of course, he's a Group 1 trainer driver after his star four-year-old was too tough, too classy, too strong in the Chariots of Fire there on Saturday night. And then Wayne Hawks, I don't think he's ever been into the city, but he's going to rock up here to Sync today, and I look forward to catching up with Wayne here live from The sink bar at Federation Square. So we'll take a quick break here on RSN Central and we'll be back with plenty more.
The Meadows has contributed to the cost of this outside broadcast.